Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, August 5th, 2015, and with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am good, and it's always wonderful to get to hear your voice.
I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. And also awesome, Bob Levitis. How are you, Bob?
Awesome.
And your voice is like magic in my ears as well.
Aw, you're so kind.
Yeah, well, you know.
My dulcet tones.
That's right. Yeah. We should all hug.
Aw.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm assuming there's a few listeners that are sitting back right now. They're thinking,
give them a hug.
Yeah. They missed out. All right. You
this
guys have
for
hugs
you.
Too. Hugs for everyone. Yeah, living in Boulder does weird stuff to you. Anyhow, I thought we could start off by diving into a topic that's really important, and it's something that you have talked about a lot over the years, Bob. And this is backing up, and why not our cars, our data, and why it's so important that we back up, and what we can do to ensure we aren't losing data.
Yes. Well, you know, I sold my consulting business last year, so I'm not seeing as much of this firsthand. But in the last few weeks, I've had more than the usual number of people say to me, my hard disk crashed, what do I do? I said, well, just restore it from your backup. And they all said, what do you mean? Or something to that effect. And it's like, I can't believe in this day and age, people haven't got the message yet that if you don't back up those files, you will lose them. And so I decided this year I was going to write a different angle on it. I was going to use all new words and see if maybe people got it better if I scared them. So I basically wrote a story about you're going to lose everything on your hard disk, period. It's going to happen. Not if and, but it is. Just only question is when. And if you want to prevent that, here's what you do. I don't know. Scare tactic.
You know,
I'm trying the scare tactic this time.
Sometimes scare tactics are necessary. Sometimes they're effective. And the piece you're talking about is on our site today. So thank you for taking the time to write it up. What is your backup routine?
Well, I have a lot of data. You know, I have three disks, my photos and music and all my like media live on one hard disk. I've got another one that just sits there accepting backups from the other two disks. And then there's my boot disk. And I've also got a fast 4 terabyte portable RAID that I use for video. So that has to get backed up too. So it's complicated. And my first line of defense is Time Machine.
Uh-huh.
Because Time Machine's fine if you're not relying on it as your only backup. It's convenient, and the interface is good, and it does some stuff that's really nice, like lets you get a contact back in the Contacts app or a mail message back in the mail app, things that aren't very easy with traditional backups. So there's an advantage to using it, but you need more than one backup. You know, any file that you've only got one backup of, assuming that backup is kept in the same room as your Mac, which it probably is, then when the bomb lands on your house or the fire or the burglar or whatever it is, they're going to get both. They're going to get your hard disk with the backups and your computer, and you're going to have nothing. So everything that gets backed up. So first of all, everything gets backed up daily. Some stuff is backed up in real time, like my home folder is backed up in real time. Mm-hmm. So when I change a file there, it gets backed up immediately in addition to other backups. So Time Machine will back it up in an hour, but I've got CrashPlan on continuous backup. It sends it to two places. It sends it to my backup disk that's running here locally, and it also sends it to CrashPlan's cloud storage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting an offsite backup. Now, that also isn't good enough for me because it would take a long time to restore from the cloud. So I keep a copy of everything in my bank vault, in the safe deposit box down the street. And about once a month, I run a fresh, full backup of everything and swap that disk or disks for what's in the box and bring that back and recycle it. So I've got, and then every night, a carbon copy cloner shoots off a clone of my boot disk just in case. And that's really important for people who do what we do, where your Mac is your way of earning a living.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got deadlines, taking a day or two to restore a dead hard disk isn't in the cards. You know, if I've got a deadline, I don't have time to fix it. If it breaks, I got to go back to work and worry about fixing it tomorrow or later today, because I got an editor waiting for me to turn something in, right?
And mm-hmm. I am such a jerk.
Well, I wasn't really thinking of you, but when you've got deadlines and you know, and you can't afford to spend the day troubleshooting and buying a new hard disk and restoring everything from backups and figuring out, you know, what you need, having a clone means all you need is a Mac, any Mac. You plug your clone in, you boot from the clone, and you're back where you were a few hours ago with everything you're going to need to finish whatever work needs to be done.
Yep.
So for people like me, having a clone is maybe the most important part, because if anything goes wrong, I have something I can take somewhere else with another Mac and continue working, thus pushing off the troubleshooting and fixing until I have time for it. And I think that's something a lot of people don't get is, oh my gosh, it's going to take 3 hours and 40 minutes to restore all that? And you're, if you've only got one Mac, you're done. Mm-hmm. You can go out to eat, you know, go out and have a nice long meal.
With a few drinks, because you'll probably need them.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I figure you need three copies of any file that matters to you, and one of those copies should be stored somewhere other than where your Mac is. And if you basically adhere to that, you probably will never lose any data.
Yeah. Now, I want to point out. Minimal. Go ahead, Kelly. Yeah.
Well, I used to do hard drive support many years ago, and when I say many years ago, I mean many, as in we were selling a 1 gigabyte hard drive, and people would call in and ask about it, wondering what you would do with that vast amount of storage.
Good
times.
All that space. What are you going to do with all that space? So in those days, the statistic that was bandied about by people was that 50% of computer users will experience data loss at some point. And the question basically wasn't if it was going to happen to you, but when. And then 25% of computer users have regular backups. Now, this was before Time Machine. This was before disk storage was cheap. I don't even want to tell you what we were charging for a 1 gigabyte external hard drive. But what I can tell you is that's 75% of people. And do you really think that your odds of being the one person of the four that you know, is of being somebody who sails through life without data loss, like, that's not good odds. So it's always something you should do. My backup plan is I use CrashPlan. I have a Drobo on my desk. And I also have a hard drive that I super duper, much like Bob was talking about, there's two drives. So there's the one on my desk that is the super duper clone. I do that about once a week. And then, because all the documents and stuff that I work with regularly are all online somewhere. They're all in a like Dropbox or iCloud Drive or something. And so what I do is about once a week, I make sure that I have an absolute clone of the drive in my computer. And then about once a month or so, I swap that out with one that lives somewhere else. So I make sure that gets rotated through regularly so that I at least have two different places. And then at some point, I'm going to sit down and figure out how to set up the whichever backup service it is that has the thing where you can attach a hard drive at someone else's house, like
that's
across town.
Plan.
And then
that's CrashPlan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to, whatever that feature is called, I need to dedicate a little time and get that set up and make sure that I've got that running the way I want it to. So
I think that's called backup to your friend's computer.
Well, yeah, I wanted to say they had some neat name for it that made it sound really awesome. And just in real life, it was, you know, you go to your parents' house and you hook up a hard drive and then you just tell them not to touch it and don't worry about it. And you'll come get it if you need it. And hopefully you never need it. And there it sits.
And that's true.
Which yeah, is a I think long that's name. Actually the name. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it got, kind it of got a long through name. The marketing committee. So it was great.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
So, okay. Now my backup routine is pretty hardcore. Like the routine you guys have. I mean, Time Machine is doing its hourly stuff. So if I need quick access to something for me, Time Machine is if I need something from the last couple days.
Right.
Then I can just grab it real quick from Time Machine. Then I have data backup from ProSoft mm-hmm. Engineering, backing up nightly to my Drobo. And then I have crash plan going to a remote disk that I have at a friend's house. And then I have Dolly Drive backing up online. And then the files that I use on a regular basis are the current files that I'm working with. Those are all on Dropbox. So they're available immediately from any of my computers.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have other files that I use on a regular basis that live on Dropbox and also on my transporter so that if one goes down, the other is likely still available.
Okay.
That is redundancy.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's good.
I've lost data before, and every time I've lost data in a way where I can find a loophole in my backup strategy, then I figure out how to patch it. So everything that I have set up today addresses loopholes that I have found in the past.
I want to say one more thing. I noticed both of you said you're using. I forgot to mention that all my media lives on a Drobo, which I consider to be pretty much backing up itself.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, I'm not going to lose data, but I still back that stuff up weekly and keep a copy of it offsite because if my office were to be nuked, the Drobo wouldn't survive and neither would the data on it. And
mm-hmm.
the stuff at my bank, which is several miles from here, might actually survive.
Mm-hmm.
So
now that's the thing
Drobo
I think a lot
is
of people.
Really good thing if you've got a lot of files and you don't want to worry about losing them short term. You know, it's like I don't worry about stuff I stick on the Drobo. If it only gets backed up once a week, the chances of losing anything important are slim and none. I've never had anything go, you know, I've never lost a drop of data on my Drobo because it's fault tolerant. It's actually keeping two copies, you know,
right.
Somehow. It can reconstruct even if one whole disk dies. Now, if two disks die at once out of the four that are in the Drobo, I got a problem. But again, I back that stuff up just in case.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily consider is, oh, well, you know, I don't keep my photo library, iTunes library, movie library on my computer. I keep it on this other hard drive, you know, network attached hard drive somewhere or external hard drive even. And you need to back that up too.
Right.
Because that's a really important thing that gets neglected a lot. So I think people probably, Bob, that you've spoken with, you were talking about, you know, people talking about losing drives in the last week or so. I think a good portion of people don't stop and think about backing up that too. You know, part of why you moved it off your computer in the first place might have been because it was huge. And, you know, storage is getting less expensive all the time. And you really need to just buy another hard drive and make that copy, or better yet, buy two. And then use the rotation system that Bob and I use. You know, you have some offsite location where that stuff generally lives. And you swap those out once in a while, make a complete copy, and then go take it and drop it off. You know, I use a Post-it that has the date on it, and I stick it to the side of my hard drive so that I know when the last time was I changed it. And then after I change it, once I've made the drop, I set another reminder. Siri, remind me in a month I need to change this hard drive.
And I print the Finder window. I put it in list view, print the Finder window, and then wrap the drive in that piece of paper.
Like
when I'm out of the house, I can just grab the piece of paper and look and see what folders are on this particular disk. So
right.
It's convenient. And that's one, Jeff, like you said, iterations of backup, I finally learned, hey, it would be nice to know what's on this disk from the outside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I started printing just the top directory, and it's been very helpful because I've got probably 3 or 4 backup disks sitting at the bank. And I go and get the oldest one and bring it home, but there's 3 in there. Which one's photos? Which one's, mm-hmm. you know, which one did I stick all that stuff from the videos I downloaded? They're on one of these, but if you're at the bank looking in the vault, you can't really do anything. The other thing I want to mention is Otherworld Computing sells a thing called the Voyager dock. I don't know if you guys have them, but...
I don't have one, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're fabulous.
About.
So they enable you, they're really, it's an enclosure for a hard disk that will take either a small disk from a laptop or a big desktop disk, and you just go out and buy the cheapest hard disks you can find and use them like cartridges. They pop mm-hmm. in
yeah,
and
it
pop
looks like
out.
A toaster.
It does, and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread because you can get raw 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 terabyte drives. I mean, 6 terabyte drives are only maybe $150. I've seen 4 terabytes under 100. If you shop carefully, you can find a 4-terabyte drive for under $100 with no enclosure, and you just drop it in this Voyager. It makes it so you have less stuff to carry around.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of those.
That's awesome, too.
That's actually my hard drive backup.
And they're so inexpensive. The USB-only one is at like $40.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got one with FireWire and eSATA for like $80.
Yeah, that's actually the way that my hard drive duplication happens is we have a dock like that.
Yeah.
And I just drop in my little 8-track, I mean, hard drive. And
they do look kind of like 8-tracks.
A little bit, because it sticks out the top some. And anyway.
Yeah, mine says it switches between songs. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and oddly, mine says Neil Diamond's Greatest Hits on the side. that's what I do is we just buy naked hard drives, like any other component like you would put in tower, in a PC tower, and drop it in. And the other thing that's super handy about having a dock like that is that you can troubleshoot. So if you have maybe not a Drobo, but if you have some other sort of network attached hard drive set up and you're having trouble with the hard drive, sometimes it's useful to be able to just drop it in that dock and run a little diagnostic from your computer instead of having to go across the network and try and use the utility that came with the enclosure. So we have found it to be an infinitely useful troubleshooting step when we still had more Windows computers at my house. It was even more useful because I was able to scoop data off the drive with my Mac that sometimes the Windows machine, for whatever reason, wouldn't read, even though it was valid. So that's also been super useful, and it makes it so much less expensive to buy the amount of storage that you need in order to make sure that you get everything backed up.
Awesome. Hey, I am going to include links in today's show notes to the different products we've been talking about, and of course there'll be a link to Bob's backup piece.
Well, and I'm writing a follow-up piece. I already promised in my column that next week I will talk about the software I use and the specifics, because the first one was a very broad try to scare you into, you know, just it was more philosophical than technical. The next week is going to be the details, so watch for that next week. Even awesome. More, if you liked today's show, boy, read next week's column.
There you go. Awesome. I love that. Okay. Now, listeners, I'm curious what sort of backup routines you guys have. So let me know. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can leave comments in the show notes. And you can also send an email to observations@macobserver.com. I'm really curious what you guys are doing, because if there are places in my obsessive backup routine or Bob's or Kelly's that need to be addressed, and you guys are doing that, I totally want to know, because I'm always looking for ways to improve my backup routine. So let me know what you guys are doing. Now, we're out of time, but before we actually wrap up, I wanted to talk very briefly about the DYDL security flaw. That's mm-hmm. suddenly big news. So the deal is, this is a security flaw that targets the Mac, and specifically Macs running OS X Yosemite. It's a a security flaw that's patched already in OS X El Capitan beta. And yes, mm-hmm. there is a fix coming for Yosemite users. It's in the beta of the 10.10.5 update, which should be out very soon. So here's the deal. This the security flaw, which is being exploited in the wild right now, what it does is it takes like an installer and then uses that installer to gain root level access to your computer for installing applications. And right now what it's being used for is to install adware and what did they call it? Mac Keeper Junkware. So this stuff gets installed without your permission, and now you have bad guys that have direct access to be able to read and write data to your hard drive, which is really pretty scary. So the thing that really annoyed me about this is that there is a guy that posted a blog thing where he talked about what this is, how it works, and how to do it, and didn't bother to give Apple the information. So that was about a month ago. Now we're seeing real exploits out there, and Apple has patches on the way, which is great. It shows that Apple can be pretty nimble, or that they were already aware of this and were working on it. And I think it's kind of irresponsible that this guy just decided, hey, I'm just going to post all this online and then bang on Apple for it. So anyhow, it's the DYDL exploit. And yes, a fix is coming. My advice is the same advice that I give people related to all the different types of potential exploits that are out there. You need to practice safe internet. So you don't go to sites that you don't trust, websites that you don't know about, meaning you're not sure if it's a safe or reputable site. You don't take software from strangers, and you don't install apps where you just get a dialogue that pops up on your screen and says, hey, you need the latest version of whatever. So, you know, be safe out there and know that there's a patch on the way. And in the meantime, just be careful where you're getting your software and what websites you're visiting. Does that sound like good advice?
That just about covers it. And it also, there was an utter lack of hand-waving and yelling in your alert, and that made me happy too.
Awesome. I'm glad I made you happy. Hey, we're totally out of time.
Of course we are.
So we have to wrap up. Kelly,
that happens every day.
Every single day. I know. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And Bob, thank you for being here as well.
Always a pleasure.
Listeners, thank you for joining us, and let me know what you're doing for your backup routines. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.